Imagine defeating death. It's been a subject of fascination since the beginning of history. Some say within 30 years, you could be immune to disease, unaffected by aging, and able to live 150 or perhaps 1,000 years. Is it possible that medicine and biotechnology may soon give you unending life? Now, you may already feel that life doesn't really end. Do you believe that you have an immortal soul that lives on either in heaven or hell? How can you know? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we explore the quest for immortality.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
An epitaph is an inscription on a tombstone in memory of the one buried there. They can be serious, but they can also be amusing. One in a London, England cemetery states, "Here lies Anne Mann, who lived an old maid, but died an old man." Another remembered Anna Wallace. It said, "The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old Clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna." Epitaphs can be humorous, like this one. It says, "I told you I was sick." Or how about this one from Boot Hill Cemetery in Tombstone, Arizona, where a wooden grave marker bears the inscription, "Here lies Lester Moore, four slugs from a 44, no less, no more." Most often, epitaphs are not humorous, but try to express hope, like this one. "For though his body's under hatches, his soul has gone aloft." This type of memorial seems to be the most common sentiment, indicating that the soul of the deceased has gone to heaven. But is that really the case? Does your soul go to heaven or hell when you die? Do you even have a soul? You see, to most, death is a mystery. Losing a loved one is often a fearful, traumatic event. As a minister, I'm often called upon to conduct funerals. Friends, family, they come together to remember the life of the deceased. Now, this is often a time when the living look for understanding. They wonder, what is life all about? What's its meaning and why is death such a tragic part of life? And of course, what happens at death? Now, most people believe, or at least they want to believe, that there's some part of us that lives on when we die. It's hard to accept that this physical life is all there is. Even religion offers a variety of explanations, but have you ever noticed how they often contradict one another? Are we immortal? Do we have an immortal soul? Are we conscious after death? Is our soul destined to go somewhere for a reward or for punishment? Have you ever wondered where these ideas came from? It's probably because, in fact, they're unbiblical. Practically every civilization has held the belief that something from this life goes beyond death, and it's usually the belief of the immortality of the soul. That's the idea that your spiritual soul that's contained by your physical body at death is somehow released. You see, this idea of an immortal soul can be documented among the ancient Egyptians and all the elaborate customs they created to provide for the soul in its journey into the afterlife. The pyramids, they're a monument to the idea of the immortality of the soul. Elaborate drawings in the tombs depict this belief. They show that the soul would depart from this life and go to the life beyond. They mummified the body to preserve it physically, but then they buried food and clothing and weapons and perhaps even a pet with them to assist the departed soul on its journey to the afterlife. Now, it wasn't just the Egyptians. Cultures from China to North America buried their dead in ways that showed they believed that a soul departs the body at death and continues to live on in another world. Now, you could say that this universal idea was taken from the ancient world and without much thought, accepted right on into our modern era. Do you believe it? Have you ever really deeply considered the concept of the soul? Now, there's no doubt death eventually captures us all. Eventually, our physical existence will end. Beyond the grave can be a great mystery, but you don't have to live in uncertainty. Now imagine, if you knew with absolute and total certainty what would happen to you after death, how would it change the way you're living your life right now? You see, it's better to know the truth than to remain uncertain and do nothing. And you know, it's possible to know the truth in your quest for immortality. Ask yourself, do your beliefs come from tradition? Do your beliefs come from philosophy? Or do they come from a divinely revealed source? You see, here on Beyond Today, the Holy Bible is the source of understanding. We're not afraid to tackle the tough questions that surround this very issue. But you know, we look to the Bible for the standard of understanding. When it comes to the question about life after death, we have to look to the Word of God for answers. God is the creator and the sustainer of life. Only the creator of life can reveal the truth about the state of the dead. The fact is, the Bible tells you that you do not have a soul. I mean, look at science. Science can't tell us when, where, or how life began. Only one source tells us how life began and what's its purpose. Shouldn't you go to that source to understand the mystery of death? The Bible tells us exactly what happens at death. It tells us what happens to those who have done right or wrong, and it reveals what will happen to the billions of people who have never known God and His way of life. You need to discover the answers for yourself. Now, you may be shocked when you find out what the Bible really teaches. So we have a special offer for you. It's our free booklet, What Happens After Death. It will help you understand the incredible truth about this great mystery. It's absolutely free, and it's written to help you understand your Bible and the truth about the soul. Request your free copy today. Click or call. Go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to download or read it online or order your free copy of What Happens After Death. You can click or call toll free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free booklet now. You see, most people accept the belief that man has or is an immortal soul, and they do it without question. But Scripture explains exactly where that idea began. Now, do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? They were created and they were instructed not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they did, they were told, right at the very beginning of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, they were told, "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." That's what God told them. Now, just a couple of verses later in chapter 3, the serpent, the devil, told Eve that if she were to eat of that tree, she would not surely die. You see, the essence of Satan's lie is, go ahead, live you like, have all the fun. There's no fatal consequences to your actions because you're already immortal. Now, why would Satan tell this lie? Why not something else? You see, he wanted to hide the truth about what God is doing with human life. God didn't tell Adam and Eve that their soul would live on, but instead, they would cease to exist. Now, it's very interesting. The very first place where we find the word soul mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Notice what it says. In verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, as we consider this, remember, the Bible was not originally written in English. This portion of the Bible was written in the Hebrew language. And that word translated soul in this verse is the Hebrew word nephesh. It literally means a breathing creature. In fact, if you looked at other translations, the New King James, the New Revised Standard, the New International Version of the Bible, they all stated correctly that man became a living being or a living person. Throughout the Bible, you'll find the same word, nephesh, translated living creature, whether it refers to a sea animal or whether a land animal or man himself. Now, remember this other story. Remember when Adam was asked to name the animals? Genesis 2:19 is where that's found. Adam was asked to name every living creature. Now that's the same word, nephesh. And he's talking about animals. You see, the Bible does not say Adam had an immortal soul. Rather, it tells us that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. So, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You are a living being. In fact, it makes it very clear in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Notice in Ezekiel 18, 4, God himself tells us something very interesting. Notice what it says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. God himself says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine." So that's that word nephesh. Now notice what God says about that soul. He says, "The soul who sins shall die." In fact, he even repeats himself a little bit farther in verse 20. "The soul who sins shall die." You see, soul is that Hebrew word nephesh. And what can it do? It dies. It is mortal. You see, the idea of an immortal soul is not a biblical teaching. That concept grew from ancient civilizations all the way to the Greek philosopher Plato. He taught that the body and the immortal soul separate at death. Now, notice this amazing quote. "We are influenced always more or less by the Greek Platonic idea that the body dies, yet the soul is immortal. Such an idea is utterly contrary to the Israelite consciousness and is nowhere found in the Old Testament." You see, it's not there. It's not, God didn't say we had an immortal soul. We are a soul. In fact, we move up to the New Testament, it's even more remarkable to realize that Christianity itself has been corrupted by this very Greek philosophy. An early influential Catholic theologian named Origen was influenced by Greek thinkers. He said speculation about the soul in the sub-apostolic church was heavily influenced by Greek philosophy. This is seen in Origen's acceptance of Plato's doctrine of the pre-existence of the soul. Now, does that surprise you? The truth is that the false idea of an immortal soul entered the church and was welcomed into Christianity, even though it's not a biblical teaching. So, what exactly happens at death? What does the Bible teach us about death itself and what happens? Well, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 19, it tells us, "Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to dust." Now, a little bit later in Ecclesiastes 9, 5, it tells us, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." The Bible teaches that at death, you wait in the grave. You don't go anywhere. Now, here's an eye-opener. Imagine this. John 3:13, it says, "No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." Now, is that shocking to you? Perhaps it should be. The Bible itself says no one has ever gone to heaven. The person who's died is unconscious. They're unaware of the passing of time. The Bible describes our death like an unconscious sleep. That's contrary to what most people believe and what most churches teach. The Bible clearly says that man does not have an immortal soul. Now, that idea may seem harsh to you. It may even seem morbid. But is that all there is? An epitaph that goes to this very thought was found on Mel Blanc's tombstone. Now, Mel Blanc was that voice of the well-known characters of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Tweety Bird, Porky, hundreds of voices. He's famous for them. Now, on his tombstone, it says this, his famous line, "That's all, folks." Now, is that true? Since there is no immortal soul, since the dead know nothing, is there any hope of life beyond death? Well, what does the Bible say? It says, yes, there is hope. John 3:16. Let's notice what it says. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, how do we put those two things together? How do we get from the grave where our thoughts have perished to everlasting life that God promises? Well, the answer is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. Notice what it says. It says that this corruptible must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." You see, God's telling us we're given eternal life. We don't have it already. That change takes place at the time of judgment rather than at the moment of death. You see, at the end of our physical lives comes death. After that, we have the hope of the resurrection. The short epitaph of actress Joan Hackett. Now, she appeared on stage, in films, on TV. She has an interesting one. It simply says, "Go away, I'm asleep." You know, she was right. Death is like an unconscious sleep. And yet, Jesus said in John 5:28 that the time is coming when all who are in the grave will hear God's voice and come forth from their graves. We must be changed because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so those who are in Christ, those who are true Christians, those who have been called, those who have repented, those who have been baptized and who are led by God will be transformed in the resurrection to eternal spirit life, glorified like the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now that is an amazing truth. That's what your Bible teaches. So don't become a victim believing in a lie. You don't have an immortal soul, but you can receive immortality, not immediately upon death, but later. And like this epitaph that says, "The best is yet to come." And it will come. God promises to fulfill your quest for immortality through a resurrection to everlasting life in the family of God. Now, there's so much more to discuss on this topic. Up next, we'll be talking with the Beyond Today panel. But first, I have a special offer for you today. It's the Good News Magazine. The Good News Magazine has a goal to provide understanding. You can get your subscription absolutely free. Go online to beyondtoday.tv to download, read it online, or order your free subscription. Now, many magazines report the news or current events. They give you information, but short on answers. They don't address the really important questions of why were you born? What's your purpose in life? What lies ahead? That's why you need the Good News. It will help you with the answers. So click or call. Call us toll-free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free subscription now. It's one thing to report the news. The Good News not only analyzes and explains world trends and events in the light of Bible prophecy, but it will also help you with your life. Get your free subscription today. Well, our topic today has been the immortal soul and man's quest for immortality. Do you know what happens to you when you die? Can you prove it from the Bible? To discuss this, fellow Beyond Today hosts Darris McNeely and Gary Petty. Thanks for joining me. As we think about this, an old proverb came to my mind. It says, "Life is hard, then you die." Now, it's a bit cynical, I'm sure, but life certainly leaves us wanting more. We don't want to die. So I wonder, do you think it's kind of built into man in a sense that we want more, we want more life? There needs to be something immortal?
I do, Steve. I think that it is something that's hardwired into human beings to be desiring something more. The psalm that talks about looking up into the heavens and wondering and questioning God as to what man is and what is man that you are mindful of him really speaks to this consciousness mm-hmm. that really man is the only part of the creation that has this ability to be self-aware. And with that goes this quest or this desire for something more. And the idea that death ends it all just has never really taken hold. In whatever culture, religion, philosophy you design, there's always some idea that there's something beyond. It's just that people don't understand what the Bible says, what the truth is regarding that subject, mm-hmm. and it's led to a lot of different ideas.
Well, our very desire to be alive, our survival instinct drives us to want to believe there's something beyond this. You know, it's interesting, you were talking about Plato earlier. Plato's argument for the immortal soul, since he couldn't prove it logically, was that since human beings can't conceive of eternal death, that proves they have an immortal soul. Now, that's not logical, but it does hit on what we're talking about here, this need we have to believe that life goes beyond this.
Yeah, maybe what we ought to do is think about the fact that life's short. It's temporary. It wasn't designed to last forever. God made it that way. The Bible says our days are like grass, or our life is like a vapor. And maybe that's one of the reasons we don't want it to end, but maybe we better take just a minute and explain exactly what the Bible says about the dead. What happens to the dead?
Well, the Bible is accurate as to what everybody really understands about life and death, and that is that death is a certainty. The Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die. Since we're into little different sayings to explain this concept here today, we all know that there is a saying that there's the only things that are certain in life are death and
taxes.
So the certainty of death is what is described in the Bible. That is appointed unto man, and that is what is going to happen to every one of us. We don't like to really dwell on that as we're living, but it is a certainty, and the Bible is very accurate about that, and so it really lays it out there very clearly.
But what's interesting in the Old Testament, if you study the Old Testament, and if you just read what any biblical encyclopedia dictionary says about death in the Old Testament, it talks about death as a state of unconsciousness. Now, when we look at the New Testament, the Apostle Paul repeatedly talks about death as sleep, an unconscious state. So when we look at the Scripture, it clearly states that human beings, when they die, we go into a state of unconscious sleep, awaiting a resurrection.
It's an interesting thing, because in Psalm 146, it even says, our thoughts perish. I mean, it totally discounts any possibility of an immortal soul. The thoughts, there's nothing. The death is death, and it's ended. But if we were to leave it right there, where would there be any hope? The Bible doesn't just leave us in the grave in that sense. There is hope, isn't there?
There's absolute hope, and that is the most comforting news of the Scriptures, because the New Testament is very clear that there is the hope of the resurrection. And that is the central tenet of the New Testament, and certainly the Christian faith and the message that Jesus Christ brought to this earth, that there is the hope of a resurrection. There is life. There is life beyond. There is immortality as part of that hope. It is going to come according to God's purpose and timing and His planning.
It's not inherent. It's not something
we already have. We don't have immortality within us. That is something God grants. Only God has immortality at this time. And the Scriptures are very clear that that is the central hope. You know, I have been privileged to go into many, many funerals over my years in the ministry and explain to people that hope. And when you stand there in that room with a corpse laid out and people's loved ones gone, dead, to be able to explain to them that they will see that person again and explain them the hope of what the Bible says of the resurrection and of the prospect of immortality, that is a very rewarding experience, to be able to lay that before people and explain it to them. And it's something that everyone can understand, everyone in our audience.
Yes, and this question that we're asking is the one that is in the Old Testament, where Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? And he says, you will hide me, speaking of God, in the grave, and then you will call my name. When we go to the New Testament, we have 1 Corinthians 15, often referred to as the resurrection chapter. Here the Apostle Paul describes what it is like to be resurrected from sleep, what he calls sleep. And he compares the resurrected person, compares it to like the moon and the sun. What we are now is we are like the moon. We are made of matter. We are made of dust, of rock. But the sun is pure energy. And when he talks about the resurrection, he talks about a person whose body is pure energy. And that is a very hopeful, exciting viewpoint, to realize that resurrection awaits people.
And that hope is in the book that so many professing Christians and people who read this book for understanding, many in our audience, have and look to, and that hope is in there, not the false hopes that people have put their trust in, but the hope of a resurrection. And it is a surprising truth of the Scriptures that opens up a far better scenario and understanding of what happens at death and what is the future of everyone who's ever lived when you really see that laid out in the scriptural plan that God reveals there. It is a tremendous hope for everyone in the very book that so many believe in.
That's an interesting point. How should that affect us? You know, people viewing us might say, boy, that's not what I believed. I didn't realize the Bible really teaches that. So how should it affect people's lives when they understand the truth of what the Bible teaches?
It opens up a whole new understanding as to how what the purpose of our life is today. Because when you understand that there will be a resurrection, then that adds a dimension of meaning to your present life that no other truth, philosophy, or idea can really help you to understand. It gives you meaning to get out of bed every day, each morning, and get on with something that's meaningful and purposeful in life. It helps you to understand that this life is a preparation for something beyond. And when you know the full dimension of that, when you know what God's plan and purpose is, then that opens up, again, hope, understanding, but purpose for every day, today, now.
And to know that Jesus preceded us, that we have this example, that he is in heaven with the Father right now, waiting for our resurrection, that gives real purpose and meaning right now, the way you live your life every day.
Absolutely. God gives us hope. Now, if you don't understand, we have something to help you understand the truth of your Bible. Remember our free offers today. What happens after death? We're offering you this free booklet to help you understand the truth about this great mystery. It's absolutely free, and it's written to help you know the facts. Click or call. Go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to download it, read it online, or order your free copy of What Happens After Death. You can call us toll-free, 1-888-886-8632. And don't forget your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. It's a magazine that will help you understand the world around you and help with the personal issues such as how to have a better marriage, raising a family in a godly way. The Good News will help you gain understanding. You can get your subscription absolutely free. Go online to beyondtoday.tv to download it, read it online, or order your free subscription. That's 1-888-886-8632. Be sure you don't miss out on these free offers. Are you ready to take the challenge? Just because you've always believed something doesn't make it so. The Bible teaches that you don't have an immortal soul. Only God has immortality. You're a physical being composed of flesh and blood, and you will die. You'll cease to know anything, becoming unconscious and unaware. But that's not the end. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave, so you can be certain there will be a resurrection. Now, the good news is God wants to fulfill your quest for immortality and share eternal life with you and all humanity. You can have the opportunity to live forever by following Christ's teachings to repent and live His way. Just ahead is a wonderful future. Make the choice to live God's way that you may live forever. That's it for today's program. Be sure and join us again next time here on Beyond Today. Thanks for joining us.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.